This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Cidercade on Canal Street. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? And happy opening day as we get you going on the Press Box. Rolling through an afternoon as we take it on the road once again. Cidercade is the place to be. Canal Street,
2320.
Edo-ish, kind of on the backside of BBVA and Minute Maid Park. What an amazing environment as people get ready to go for opening day tonight as the Stros look to continue to kick ass on the A's. And in the meantime, you guys can get your game on because this place is loaded. Phenomenal games. From way back to now, people were asking, do they have punch-out? On the list, it says no. Oh, contraire. But in the building, they say yes. They aim to please here. It's fantastic, Nicholas.
I've been here for about an hour and a half now. I've tried some of the food spots in the area. They do not have food here.
Yeah.
But you can bring food if you choose, just as long as you clean it up. But the spot is absolutely amazing. All the games that I could think of playing growing up as a kid, and I think the audience will feel the same way. NBA Jam, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Contra's here. You mentioned Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Madden, Walking of the Dead. Like, the list goes on and
on.
For
Charlie Palillo, they have skee-ball.
Oh, he'd be all over the skee-ball. There's a golf. Golden Tee is right next to us.
Golden Tee is a phenomenal game.
It's a massive, massive spot. Only $10 to play. You come in, you pay $10.
Play
you get
all
access
the games.
All
Unlimited.
Day long.
Now, if you want to join the nerd herd, $15 and you get free entry all month, plus fun stuff reoccurring monthly. That means, I mean, when you just look into play, you don't have to sit on your couch and play your system. You come in here and you've got just your pick of all the games.
Yeah.
It's a badass spot.
It's not, yeah. And I was talking to Matthew, who works here, and he said, yeah, we know you're saying over 275 off the air, on the air, but it's actually closer to 300 games that they have in playing right now that are functional. And in terms of the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out question that we got earlier, he thought they didn't have it, but one of these arcades have emulators, so it's basically multiple games on one arcade.
Uh-huh. Yep,
so they didn't even know that they had Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Is it Michael? I mean, Michael and his daughter, and we asked the question because it was on Twitch, and the initial answer at the front desk was no, but Michael corrected everybody and goes, nope, there's two of them back there. So, yes, they have Punch-Out. Yes, they're adding games. It is a fun spot, and no matter when you were back in your heyday hitting the arcade playing the games, they probably got what you're looking for and so much more. We're getting ready to just get through the next 3 hours as we set you up for the blitz and then the ball game. And, Nick, another day, another saga in the Deshaun Watson situation. Rusty Harden now out there saying that he filed a motion. He wants all of the quote-unquote Jane Does to be identified. He wants that done in the next 48 hours. And he's saying that Tony Busby is using by keeping the names anonymous, he's using it like a sword so that there's no way to poke holes in the stories and identify and investigate the victims. But there's a daily occurrence, as we know, of ways to attack Deshaun Watson as long as they stay anonymous. He wants that done in the next 48 hours. I don't know if it'll get done or not, but it's just another chapter in what's going to be a long, long novel when it comes to how this thing plays out.
I mean, I guess we would need some sort of legal expert. I don't know what the chances are of him, you know, of this being a success with him filing the motion. But for him to do his job better, I would imagine he does need to know the identity of these women. And that's obviously a sensitive topic because when you know the identity of these women, sometimes they get, you know, it's important to protect them. You don't want them to get harassed or bothered or threatened or anything like that. So it's an iffy situation, not a good situation if you're Deshaun. But, you know, I was thinking about it last night, Joel, and you might disagree with me on this. But I'm starting to think it won't go criminal.
And why?
I just don't think if there was an option on the table, and again, I'm not a legal analyst.
Right.
But if there was an option on the table for him to settle and he didn't, and now all this is coming out, and he has not been public on Twitter ever since, when initially he was very defiant in that he, you know, he treated women with the utmost respect. Something tells me that he'll eventually get it settled, The NFL will serve their suspension, and the Texans will eventually either get out of or a portion of that massive contract. They may still have to pay for it. They may still have to make a deal. They may still have to do something about it, but I don't think he'll be in a Texan uniform, and I think he'll eventually settle, and I don't think he'll go criminal.
Yeah, I disagree simply because at least two of the victims have already talked to HPD. And I think that, again, I think if you want real, true legitimacy to your story, if you truly want to believe everybody to actually buy in and believe that this isn't a cash grab, that this isn't about, you know, just joining the parade of victims, and you want to make a true statement like we heard Ms. Solis yesterday, I think part of that is you have to cross the line from civil to legal to show that this is really what it's all about, to show that how much pain and suffering you've been through. And so that's why I would think that we may see more throughout this process start to explore going to the police.
And the other thing that could really help your argument that you're making right now, Joel, is she was the one that brought this up to Busby's attention, remember? And Busby was on record saying he initially said, don't bring this to light. And then he changed his mind and eventually decided to bring in the light. If she's the one who wanted to take the initiative, then I can see how someone might feel like it might eventually get to a criminal status. But at this point right now, I feel like it'll be eventually taken care of and they'll come to a settlement. I could be wrong. I'm not a legal analyst. There's just too much telling information, I guess, in the officially filed lawsuits. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're true, but they're just super telling. So we'll see. We'll see. That's the sad part. The good thing is we're right next to Minute Maid Park. It's the first. It's the home opener of the Houston Astros, and this is a solid spot to be here. You know why? Because there's 24 taps, a mixture of hard ciders, yeah, kombucha, and hard seltzers, one of which is a wine. So for those of you who want to drink wine, but 24 taps.
And they all
taps,
make it right here, right?
Yep, it's all. They said, they even say it on the sign up front. We only serve what we make, and the only thing they make is Bishop Cider products. So
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to talk a lot about the baseball game tonight, of course, as the Astros go to look to try and go 6-1. A's got their first win of the season last night in extra innings against the Dodgers, having survived Trevor Bauer. They got it done in extras, and they got victory number one. But let's hope that that's where the buck stops and that the beating of the A's continues as we now head to Minute Maid Park. The environment around the building and in the neighborhood is just electric as people get ready for that first home game. Fans will be allowed in the building. They were talking about all the different stipulations that go with it. They're looking for about 50% capacity. They are going to do social distancing. You do have to wear a mask unless you're eating or drinking. And there's lots of other elements that go with it. But the good news is fans are going to be in the building, and we're going to have baseball back at Minute Maid Park.
And
that is always a good thing. It is perfect.
And the cool thing is, if you want to get food, I went to Southside Flying Pizza, and guess what else is walking distance? Our old friends at Big City Wings. So there's two spots right around the corner where you can walk and bring some food. That's what I did. I brought some pizza, enjoyed it. I inhaled that entire pizza to myself, and I didn't share a single slice with Joel because he didn't deserve it.
Well, but I'm looking for Dr. Dre on 290 and Christina, who really had no idea when our show was yesterday and the hours of it.
That's
I'm
nice.
Looking for them to stop at that pizza place and bring us some food. That's going to be fantastic.
Suspects didn't know what our time slot was. That's fantastic.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, just got to love hearing all
unacceptable.
Of that. But, of course, we got the Trubies on Twitch already. We love seeing all the people that are already hitting us up on Twitch. My man Poor Marine, and of course, all the different – the fake Tony Stark. Donna's already checked in. She'll check out, which I'm annoyed by, but it's for our good friend. So
check
we're
out.
Okay
I
with that.
I'm not
she checks
this.
Out at 2 so she can hang with Barry, and that's fine.
Oh, we'll forgive her
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, that's fine. Lots
kind
to get
of.
To. We're going to give away some free passes. We're not going to tell you how many we got, but we've got a good number. So when you walk in the door and you're worried about having to pay to play, well, we might be able to take care of you, especially if we know you. Like
but honestly, $10 to play the entire
Unlimited.
Day is a really, really good deal. And like we said, if you get the nerd herd, it's $15 a month. If you come twice, you've gotten your money back already.
Right,
it's
right.
really not that bad a deal. So come in and pay
Claire
the $10
is back. Claire,
the promotion team.
And the promotion team will be giving away goodies throughout the afternoon. So that's always good. Hello, Clarice.
Oh, no.
As she's back in the building.
You do the voice pretty good, though.
Thank you. But we're going to end we're going to have a good time here. So lots to talk about. You guys let us know if there's something on your mind. We're going to do it the same way we always do it. It looks empty in the studio because it is, but that doesn't mean we're still not on Twitch because we're loyal to the peeps. We're not Palillo. We're loyal to the peeps. We answer Twitter and Twitch and also calls and texts.
Say hello to Tyler.
780-3776. 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Hit us up on Twitch. Otherwise, hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Yes, Tyler is holding it down for now back at the studio, but I believe he's going to make an appearance here later. So if you've always wanted to meet and greet with Tyler Scott, get a picture, grab his beard, that's always a possibility. But the people are starting to roll in, and you can too, and have a good time before the baseball game right down here at Cidercade as Nick and I are going to be here till 4, Fred, AJ, and Aaron in the Blitz till 7. What are you laughing at?
My bad. I mean, I was just looking at JD. He tagged me on Twitter.
Yeah, he's 2 days late.
Yeah. Oh, is that an old one?
Yeah. But that's fine.
I didn't see it till now.
So, Dr. Dre said taking shots already. Well, we'll stop taking shots when you bring the pizza. So you guys are going to be down in the area. Stop on by. We'd love to put names with faces, see some of the old faithfuls we already know. Claire would love to give you some prizes and some goodies. Nick will take a picture with you as he downs his cider, and you can too. So it's going to be a fun afternoon. We hope that you stick with us as we take you from now up until 4. So with that, we'll head to our first break of the afternoon and then get into a whole lot more discussion. As the Astros are front and center, we already kind of gave you the update for the day on Deshaun Watson. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, bring it to us. It is the Press Box coming to you live from Cidercade. Stop by and see us on ESPN Radio.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cidercade on Canal Street. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, I want to remind you that the Occasional Invitational is coming up. You can take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station and all the personalities of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. As the Occasional Invitational benefits Kids Meals Houston, this year's tournament, Wednesday, April the 28th, 11:30 a.m., Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer gets beverages from Michelob Ultra, lunch from Uberito, 18 holes of golf, and a quick socially distant dinner and award ceremony after the tourney. You can register now, ESPN975.com. We'd love to see you out there as we are coming to you live right now from Cidercade down here in, I guess you could call it Edo, off of Canal Street, as we're close to BBVA, close to the ballpark for the game tonight. Nick and I are sitting on some free admissions, so if you're worried about all of that, we'll find some ways to kind of hook you up and get you guys some goodies.
We will hook you up, absolutely. I've got a few to give away. I'm sure, Joel, you have plenty to give away. And it's really close to Minute Maid Park. I told you there's some great food spots nearby.
Yep.
It's massive. More people are starting to come in. We got a guy by the name of Michael who just moved to the city of Houston 2 months ago who's already said hi. Adrian has already said hi. He's a fan of the show. So come on by and join us. Cidercade, 2320 Canal Street. And if Joel doesn't run off home and act like a scared little girl, maybe we get an NBA Jam Tournament Edition game in. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how Joel feels at 4 o'clock.
After I whoop your ass on a lot of other things, you might not. You might
second guess that. What was your go-to game, by the way? I mean, did you? I know you're not a big gamer. You did say that. But there was something that you played. I think.
Oh, man, I used to play all the old school ones. For sure.
Like the ones that are
like
in this building?
Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man,
yeah,
Donkey Kong.
They've got
Kong.
That. They've got Pac-Man. They've got Miss Pac-Man. They've got Donkey Kong.
Baby Pac, all that kind of stuff.
They've got Contra.
Okay.
They've got Mortal Kombat. They've got Street Fighter, if you want that.
Golden Tee, for sure.
They have Golden Tee.
So much so my buddies bought Golden Tee for their house.
What I did.
Matt Maloney, the ex-Rocket, like addicted.
Yeah.
Well, he had to buy the game for his house.
I think I've seen one at Walmart. You can literally buy the thing for
but
like
I'm talking about the arcade game.
That's what I mean. It's like literally an arcade
oh, really?
That you can buy at Walmart for like four
okay.
or 500 bucks. They even have Pac-Man for like $400 or $500. It's like a newer version, but it's like it looks like a legitimate arcade game. But yeah, I want one. I didn't know that arcade games had emulators. I've been a big fan of emulators. Back in the day, you can kind of modify systems like Xbox.
You modify symptoms in your private time.
Well, yeah, that's different. Yeah. But like Xbox, PC, I'm allergic to penicillin.
But well, that's why you can't fix it.
No, that's not true.
Because penicillin can't fix the things that are bothering you.
You think penicillin is like the only solution to everything?
No, but the
or
prominent
penicillin is
the
only
prominent
solution
things
to
that
STDs?
Are actually woeing you. Those big red pimples.
I mean, if that was really an issue, I'd be in trouble because I'm allergic to penicillin. Clearly, I don't need it.
Well, you just keep the light.
You just
off.
Like to point that and stuff no out, and it's it. Not even true.
I don't want to see them.
Whatever.
Okay. What do you want to start with? Hey, by the way, I was having some fun last night on Twitter, and I started saying, "Uh-oh, here we go." Thank you very much.
What
the tank is open. They're going to do what they're supposed to do, which is what I liked, which is show you can be competitive for three or three and a half quarters if you're the Rockets. Show you're not going to get blown out by 40 or 50 points. And then at the fourth quarter, at the right time, where it's just subtle, it's not that 22-0 run you gave up to the Timberwolves, but you find a way to lose like you did against the Suns, where you only lost by three to the hottest team in the NBA, and everybody goes, okay, that's exactly. Now they're tanking enough so that they keep their pick, but they're showing they can be competitive. Well, last night they screwed the whole thing up. I get it. It was Dallas, and you like beating them. But what the hell was that?
Why did you – did John Wall have some unbelievable performance that I was supposed to – I don't need John Wall to have good games.
I don't need any of them to have good games
I don't need you to win games right now. I was like, John Wall, like, you can barely play back-to-backs, all right? Like, what were you trying to show? And by the way, of the 14 wins that the Houston Rockets have, like, how many of those did you contribute to? I want to know. I want to look that up. Of the 14 wins the Rockets have, how many of those games did John Wall actually play?
He's still looking Christian Wood off a lot, and I don't like it. But I will say this, that at least they're, the way he's coexisting, where he could have just – I mean, and he's got 40 million reasons why he needs to stick with this and keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, he could still be – he could be a problem if he wanted to be. But he, you know what? He's being good soldier. He's getting the young guys involved because – Kevin Porter Jr. still – look, I've heard that they have grandiose expectations. He's the next James Harden. I don't think he's that. But no. I think he could be a heck of a good player for this franchise for a lot of years. So I'm encouraged by what I've seen out of Kevin Porter Jr. I like the fact that Kelly Olynyk is a guy that I would consider bringing back because he looks like he fits beautifully. He can shoot the three. You know, he can face the basket as well as go down in the post. For me, the biggest thing is defensively, he's got a bigger body. He can defend people and put a body on him in the post. So, I mean, there's a lot where you can say, you know what, there are some pieces here now that you can feel good about, but the main thing that they have to do is they got to keep that pick. And last night did not help and do anybody any favors with the way they found a way to win that game.
Well, the good thing is I think it kind of helps avoid the fact that, you know, or any red flag that the NBA might see and say, you know what, the Rockets are tanking. So at least they get the W in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, they absolutely need to keep that top pick. And losing games is what I need to see as a Rockets fan. I don't need the old John Wall to come back. I don't need him to act like he can play like he did when he was a Wizard. I don't need that. I don't need that at all.
I tweeted it. Right after I had tweeted all the plays on the word tank, and I tweeted it, and I said, oh, my God, they're going to screw this whole thing up, and they're going to win this game. Because they had done absolutely everything they needed to do so that the fans could feel better, even though it would be a loss. And they could still, you know, they were within a half game of the worst record in the league, which is exactly what they need to do. And instead, they found a way to win. So, okay. Here's the thing. If some people were tweeting me back going, no, it's okay. It's a morale booster. It's Dallas. They can feel good for a night. They can get back to it next game. Well, next game's the Clippers. I fully expect them to get completely blown out in L.A., but that's fine with me because I need to make good for that game last game. You can have your one win, but now it's time to completely get back to Suckville.
And you know what? They're facing the team that they're supposed to lose, so it shouldn't be a problem. They're not supposed to beat.
Well, they were supposed to beat Dallas. That's a playoff team.
Well, but They are. You're right. But they have some issues on their own. We talked about Porzingis yesterday and how he's not playing as consistent as he should be. They really need him to be more consistent. One day he's shooting well. The other game he's not. So that's really important. And Doncic wasn't really happy about losing to the Rockets either. I mean, he was a little bitter about that situation too. So he was like, hey, look, everybody can have a bad game, and that's probably what happened to Dallas. They had a bad game against a bad team.
Here's what I don't understand, Nicholas. I don't understand the fact that if you're Porzingis and you're 7'4" plus and – you could go down in the low block against a Rockets team that if you just go back and watch tape, they have a real problem with tall guys. They don't have the guys to defend him. They don't have a whole lot of guys that can body him. They could have whatever they wanted. But I guess because chicks now dig the long ball in basketball too, and they like the three, he's not pulling from the three-point line. He pulled about two or three shots last night from about 40 feet out. And all of a sudden, he's staying way out. And if you're the Rockets, you go, you keep doing that all night, Unicorn. We're cool. Because if you go down in the paint, we're in real trouble. I don't get what this guy's trying to do as his end game. He could be dominant in this league. But instead, he chooses to just float outside the three-point line.
And you're going to see a few players do that sometimes. It's a dangerous approach. But because it's such a three-point shooting league, Joel, and people are comfortable with shooting multiple feet behind the three-point line, sometimes you'll find a player that wants to get into this little phase and start showing that, you know what, I can chunk it from 3-4 feet behind the three-point line. The danger comes when you do this 3-4 times in a row and you're not making any of them.
Then
you
and can he start, didn't.
And then you can start impacting your playing time. Obviously, that's not the case with Porzingis because he's too important to that team right now. So I think he has a little bit longer of a leash than your average player. But that's a dangerous approach. I mean, look, the three-point line in the NBA, it's far enough. Like, it's far enough. If you can get a good look behind the three-point line and it's not 4 feet from behind the basket and you're not Steph Curry, go ahead and take it.
And I saw this article that Daryl Morey came out and said the three-point shot is ruining the NBA. You're the one that's benefited any general manager in the league. You've like focused on it. Threes are better than twos. Pass up layups for threes. So it's exactly what you've been doing for years, and now it's going to ruin the game?
Yeah, it's
come
pretty
on,
bad.
Man. I will say this: watching Dallas last night, they actually could be a lot better than they are. And I already, you know, because I had already said they were going to be better than the Rockets starting this year, and everybody gave me heat. But that looks like it's going to come true. But they were like the sixth seed coming in. They could be so much higher and better. But to your point, it's not just Porzingis. When you watch Hardaway Jr., when you watch not just Luka can shoot him, but he doesn't shoot him from way back. But Finney Smith, all these guys are just trigger happy to pull it from 30 feet out. And you know what? When you make them, they're great. But when you're not making them and you still don't make them consistently, it's harder to win basketball games. And I think that's why they're not as good as they could be.
And the other issue that they have on that Dallas squad, Joel, is that there's a sense of pressure among players around Luka to kind of hold their own weight. Because I feel like Luka kind of feels what James Harden felt to a certain extent with the Rockets, in that he felt like he had to shoot the ball. Obviously, some of it was him being greedy and he wanted the stats, but he felt like he had to do most of the work by himself. I feel like, to a certain extent, Luka feels that way, although their depth is not that bad. I don't think they're going to go very far in the West this year, but next year they could probably progress if Porzingis shows that he's a little bit more consistent. But that's the situation that they have in Dallas. I feel like they all want to hold their weight, and it's hard to do that when you have a great player like Luka, who's, what, 22, 23 years old and arguably the top five player in the NBA right now. So, if he's not a top five, he's most certainly a top ten.
Yeah, he's closer to the top five than he is the 25. That's for sure.
You know what I mean? If you're gonna nitpick and be an a-hole about it and say he's not a top five player, then okay, fine, he's top ten. Don't tell me he's not a top ten player.
And here's the thing: now the Rockets hit the road. They're going to L.A. a game tomorrow night, so they can hopefully get back to doing what they're supposed to do and lose. But it was nice for one night for them to get a win. I get the morale part of it. So kudos to them for at least getting the W. Some guy goes, I know exactly how you think. You're absolutely upset that they won. No, I'm not, but I know what's the smartest thing for this franchise right now, and that is you got to keep your own pick. And so that's why, as much as you can get enamored with a win and say you want them to win every game, I think it's a lot better strategy to, you know what, play good for
it's
three
the
quarters.
Only strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. It's the only strategy. There's no other approach that they should take at all.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll. Again, down here at Cidercade, you should be here. It is a phenomenal spot pregame. So if you're getting ready for the baseball game tonight, you want to hang out for a couple of hours, what better place to go than you pay $10, you play unlimited games the whole time while you kick back and have some fun while we're going to be here and the Blitz is going to be here. It's a great setting. Stop by and see us and say hi. Promo team's here as well. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. I made the switch about 5 years ago. I continue to re-up with them. Because they take care of me. They always tell me if there's other companies out there that can beat the rates and prices that I'm getting. But for the most part, they beat every rate in town because they take the time to ask questions. It's not an automated system when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. It's a human being, and they're enthusiastic about taking care of their customers. They got the best ratings in the business, 5 out of 5 stars from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. And they're going to ask you the question so that they can identify when you use energy the most and when you use it the least so they can get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Check them out. Go there. Many of the listeners already have, and they've tweeted me, they've texted me, they've let me know. Lowest rates they've ever had on energy, and you could be the next to join in and join the Infuse Energy team and find out what everybody that signed up is getting. Go to InfuseEnergy.com or call them today at 844-INFUSE2. Infuse energy into your life.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cidercade on Canal Street. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
And back on the box! You got the Press Box on ESPN Radio as we continue to roll through opening day down here on the east end of downtown, as we would love to see you at Cidercade. Compliments of Bishop Cider Company. They make hard cider here, hard kombucha, hard seltzer. They don't serve it unless they make it right here in the building, and that's what they do. And on top of it, there's like 300 and some video games and arcade games in here, and it's a blast, and you need to come down here. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. And then, of course, you can catch the game tonight right there at the juice box behind us with the backdrop that we got. But it's an awesome environment, lots of cool fans and listeners. We appreciate everybody. We were talking the Astros leading up to the break, Nick, but I want to get into – I'm here talking about the Rockets. We got to talk about the Astros. But I also want to bring this up. I don't know if you saw this or not. And I think Major League Baseball is really missing an opportunity. So much like the NBA does the city jerseys that you love so much, every team has the ability to do their own city jersey and other jerseys.
Okay.
MLB is only allowing 7 teams to do a special jersey. They debuted the Boston Red Sox. Now, wait for a minute here. Go with me on this. The Boston Red Sox patterned their jerseys and their uniforms after the Boston Marathon colors. So, therefore, a team called the Red Sox is going to have a yellow jersey with blue trim and no red socks.
I got to look up this. That's got to be. I mean, I get the Boston Marathon angle.
Right.
I mean, that's important.
Lisa's run the Boston Marathon. It's always yellow, and I think,
well, also
like
because
a lighter
of the bombing
blue
and everything else.
Sure, and there's obviously an emotional tie-in to everything like that. But here's where I think, one, it's weird that Boston has that color scheme with powder blue hats. That's it.
Oh, my God, that's ugly. I'm not a fan.
I'm not either. And here's where I think MLB, again, where they fall with Rob Manfred's leadership and everybody, they fall behind the other leagues. Because we know that with the NFL, with their Thursday nights and their Thursday night jerseys and their uniforms and all the different ways that they've spiced it up, and every team in the league that plays on Thursday night can do it, and they still have the ways to do it during their regular schedule. The fact that NBA does it. Major League Baseball should let teams, from a merchandise perspective and a marketing perspective, do a city jersey, do other uniforms. Heck, when the Diamondbacks first started in Phoenix in Arizona, everybody knew they were going to suck. But the thing that was cool was they had about 15 different variations of uniforms. They had like 5 hats. They had sleeveless jerseys, sleeve jerseys. They had color combinations. They could mix it and match it and do all these different things. And people went nuts for all of it because it was hip and cool colors.
I would imagine the other owners are okay with it, or there had to be some sort of approval process, because why is it only 7 teams? That's my number one question. Number two is, you would think that it would benefit the league in its entirety if you allowed all your teams to do so. But all your teams to have these city jerseys, but maybe, because you've been through this before, coming up with a new jersey for your team is not something that happens overnight. Sometimes this is done months in advance, and you got
to
get it
the
done.
The NBA used to require a year and a half to 2 years in advance, and that was just far too long. And part of it was the uniform companies they were dealing with, too. It just took them too long to get the design done and be able to get the materials.
So is it a money factor for some of these teams that they don't get a chance to get this? Like maybe they don't want to have
the Yankees, because they're so traditional, wouldn't want to change. But if the Red Sox are doing it and they're traditional, why wouldn't, you know, even if the Yankees don't want to do it, I think that most teams, especially small market teams with a chance to increase revenues and get some more attention. Look at how hot the Astros rainbow jerseys were when they brought them back.
Oh, yeah, those are huge.
Right?
Those were real
so
huge. Yeah.
You could do that and so much more, and you could mix it up. I mean, I just think, look, you could do Oilers colors because that's never been done.
It's just weird to me that it's only seven teams, and I haven't read the story, so there's probably a defined reason for it, but who do you know the other teams outside the Red Sox and the Yankees?
Yeah, they're in there. And
I would imagine it's if I had to take a guess, it's Boston, New York, the Angels. Is this the story? I don't even know if this is the one in front of me. Breaking down MLB's jersey name game.
No, that's not the story.
That's
I'll
not
find
the story.
It for you. But it just to me, when but I yeah. saw it, I was like, first of all, Boston, I don't get the
I would
color.
Say Yankees, Red Sox. I would say maybe the Angels is a team. Maybe
you think about
the Cardinals. The Cardinals,
Cardinals
might be
won't. I don't think the Cardinals would because they're just too damn traditional. Cardinals and Yankees for sure, I think, would balk at it. The Dodgers might, but I'm not sure. But, I mean, I think the Astros could have a lot of fun. And whether you did all their throwbacks or you mixed it up, I think they're a team that would be open to it. Jim Crane, look, how many ring nights we've had?
Oh, I know, like 17,000?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they would be completely open
it's
to it.
It's ridiculous how many ring nights. And they have so much merchandise, not rings, but what do they have? Bobbleheads left in storage.
All the giveaways from last year are being given away early in the season this year, and their warehouse must have been bigger than this joint because they have so many. They had like I think they have like something like 75,000 Verlander Cy Young bobbleheads.
Yeah. And Cidercade is big, so that'd be hilarious if it's really that much. But yeah, no, I.
So I'm going to look up the other ones, but I just thought that was really crazy. Like, the Red Sox don't – they're not wearing red socks, right?
Yeah, that's so weird.
When you look at – Cubs are one of the seven teams as well, which is crazy because they're pretty traditional too. So I found the article. Cubs, one of seven MLB teams getting special city jerseys this year. It's the Cubs and the Red Sox for sure. And then let's see if they list the rest of them. Okay, here they are. I saw the rest of them. Giants I saw on this list. So it's going to be the Red Sox, the Marlins, the White Sox, the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, and the Dodgers. And they had their reveal dates already scheduled. And every team is supposed to get a jersey by the end of the 2023 season. So this season is the first season of three seasons in which I guess approximately seven teams a year we'll have the opportunity to do a city jersey. I think it's a swing and a miss. I think it's a big miss on baseball's part because if you let every team do it, and you can do it just like the Rockets do it, where you only wear those god-awful Oiler blue ones a certain amount of times in a year, but people are going to buy up all the merch, and it's not just the jerseys, it's the sweatshirts and the hats and all the gear.
I mean, it's not shocking that they're doing this. They're always looking for a new way of making money. I mean,
no,
they would do that.
They're missing it.
But they would do that. No, I agree with you, but they would do that before the pandemic. Now that not all the venues that are 100% capacity, I guess they're really, really tempted to do it. So
that's what I'm saying. So we're talking about the potential for sponsors being on the jerseys because the teams are clamoring for more ways to get money. This is a way that you don't have to muddle up what your jersey looks like or do some of these other things. Like you mentioned, the pandemic, we're not at full capacity. So you want more revenue streams so you can try and make up some of that money. Well, here's the opportunity. And baseball swings and misses and says there's only going to be seven this year.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't. I don't know what their thought process is unless, you know, because remember, Major League Baseball does make a hell of a lot of money. It does make more money than the NBA, not quite as much as the NFL. So it's not like they were completely hurting. So maybe they just don't want to roll it out. I'm speculating. I don't know why. I'm shocked at the number, but that's just the way it is. But speaking of baseball, when Tatis Jr. swung and missed, I thought for sure something was torn in his shoulder, but no.
No, GM says he's not going to need surgery.
It turned out to just be a dislocated joint.
Lucky.
But
I will say this, and I told you this before. When you dislocate a shoulder, and you see this all the time in sports, until you have surgery to tighten up the muscles and everything around it so it stays in place, the chances are once you dislocate it once, it will pop out again.
And I'm not shocked that that would happen again. I would imagine that's probably why they want to avoid surgery. They just want to see if it's going to pop back up right away. So they put him on the 10-day list.
Plus with all the money they're paying him.
Yeah, so they put him on the 10-day list. And if it pops back out again, then they're probably, they might take that more, you know, appropriate invasive measure of getting it corrected via surgery. Because right now, I don't know if that's the route they want to take considering the $341 million
contract.
Right,
you just signed with the big deal. The last thing you want to do is have him miss the whole first season of the new
contract. But I was shocked because the way he swung and missed and the way he was grimacing in pain, I was like, all right, something tore. I didn't think something dislocated. When I saw him swing, I was like, you know what, something probably tore in his shoulder. But no, I was wrong. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, but I just, and to me, tears are very scary because depending on where they are and what part of the bones they attach themselves to, if it's a ligament, when it comes down to soft tissue and stuff like that, man, it's always a really weird situation. But he's officially on the 10-day list. So, you know, not good news if you're a Padres fan, but he's still young and maybe he can come out of that.
And if you're an Astros fan and you're still sore because George Springer took more money and more years to go elsewhere, well, first it was the oblique, and now he's still dealing with the quad issue. Oh. They're waiting for an MRI. He said he was running the bases. He felt it. It didn't feel right. Now they're going to do a full MRI, so he still has yet to play a game and make his debut for the Toronto Blue Jays. So, you know what, if you're an Astros fan and you're that kind of vindictive kind of person, you can go, see, it's good he's somewhere else because he wouldn't have been here anyway. He wouldn't have been playing. So, therefore, it's better he's there dealing with his injuries instead of here.
I'm taking Springer with his obliques and his quad issues and everything else in between, man.
You know I'm a George fan, and so, I wanted them to keep him. So,
if the Astros could have kept him, believe me, I wouldn't have mind him being out to injury a few days or a week or whatever the case may be if that was the case. Man, I got to say, man, their beer, their ciders are on point. And I would highly recommend the Ginspire. I went up to Keon, the bartender, really nice guy. And I said, hey, what would you recommend? He goes, you want dry or you want sweet? I said, dry. He recommended a seasonal, the Ginspire. It's 8%. It's a fantastic, fantastic cider. And I would encourage you to try. They have Texas strawberry. They have a Frenchie. They have Cronella de Ville. They have the main squeeze. They have the cure. I'm sure Tyler would be all over.
Tyler,
this.
You're coming down here, right?
Yes, indeed. That's what, I want to check this place out.
It's very, very cool. Yeah. So
they got some really good seasonals, man. I would really, really, yeah. Their seasonals are on point.
Tyler, your price is $20 at the door, but they are waiting for you.
Dude, that's wonderful.
Just,
I can't
that's
wait.
Just wrong.
So they and I think you are going to really enjoy some of the beverages here. So. All right, you guys come on down and see us, as Nick was just talking about, with some of the mouthwatering beverages they have here that they make right on site. We'd love to see you as we are going to be here at Cidercade until 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7, setting you up for opening day tonight between the Astros and the A's as Christian Javier is on the mound as the Astros looking for their 6th win with only one loss on the season as they kick it off here in H-Town. So we'd love you to kick off your baseball experience by stopping by and saying hi. Back with a whole lot more. It is Nick and Joel in the press box at ESPN.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cidercade on Canal Street. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Shout out to my man AR Platinum. He's listening as he always does. And you and I were talking off air, Nicholas, but I did want to throw this out there. I started to sort through some of my old baseball cards.
Yeah.
And I was bored this weekend because your Cougars didn't keep me entertained in the first game of the Final Four.
Okay.
So I started going through some things. And I had one of those old, like, for – you're maybe too young for you. One of those old, like, hard plastic binders for, like, when you're – for our course, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But I had the plastic sheets in there for the cards.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I thought I had three Ricky Henderson rookie cards. But I had one.
Okay.
Now – the thing is that I've talked to some friends that are knee-deep in all this, and they said now it's not good enough to just, you know, I used to think that, you know, the card's value was just, you can't have the corners bent up, it's got to be in good shape. Well, now you have to get them graded, and I wasn't aware of this. You have to send them away or take them to where companies grade them, and you have to pay them based on what the value of the card is. So I guess, like, the top grade is a 10, okay? So if you have a 10 Ricky Henderson rookie card, it could be worth tens of thousands of dollars. But in order to get it graded, when they grade it, if they grade it a 10, they get 20%, I believe, of what the actual value of the card is. I'm like, nope, mm-mm. You know what?
What happened to the Beckett?
Yeah, right? Just look it up in the book, yeah. And then you guys can work it out with if someone
Beckett.
Wants to buy
bring
it.
Bring back the Beckett. You pay however much money for the Beckett, even if it's expensive, even if it's $50, you buy the Beckett, and you look up the value that way. Go back to the Beckett. I don't like this deal.
I'm with you, because I don't like this deal where they're capitalizing on the fact that I benefited from my mom saving all my cards.
So what if he lies? What if he overvalues the card so he can get more money? There's got to be room for – what if he says your card is worth $10,000 when it's really worth $5,000?
See, that's my question, too. It's kind of like the whole grading of the autographs, because you know what? If the guy's not completely – like, I can remember – I get in trouble for saying this – but I can remember working on certain auctions that will remain nameless in which certain things were said to be authenticated and signed by a certain superstar. And then when I went online to verify the certification, they said it was a different item signed by a different superstar. I'm that's a problem.
No, see, I can't. See, and you have to assume that these graders, if that's what they're called.
I guess so, right?
Not all of them are going to be honest.
Well,
there's no way.
And because, remember a couple months ago, or it was like a year or so ago, when I was bitching about the fact that, you know, I thought it was awesome my mom had saved all these cards when I was younger, and that I had taken the time to kind of, whenever I moved, take them with me, and then all of a sudden there was no value to them anymore? There's a new resurgence. This company, I think it's called PSA, that does all of the grading of cards, they're so backlogged right now with everyone that's so intensely getting back into cards that they've asked everybody to hold off on getting their cards graded.
Wow. Well, but think about it. It's the pandemic. You sell one of those bad boys, that's $20,000. You got $20,000. You got some income for the next few months or a year, however, you know.
So I haven't found like all the shoe boxes of all my old cards, but in that binder alone, I had a Ricky Henderson rookie, 3 Ozzie Smith rookies, and 3 Joe Montana rookies. All I can tell you is they haven't been graded yet, but they look like they're in really good shape. But what I did find out was, because I Googled it just to kind of get a ballpark, what I really liked was in the case of the Montana and the Ricky Henderson, when the quote was used, one of the top most highly valued cards of its existence.
Error, time,
and sport, the Montana and the Ricky Henderson. I'm like, oh, please. Just let me have a couple, because I'm more than willing to part with them. Believe me,
I would be too. But don't.
My girl's got to go to college.
But just don't pay for the grader to do it.
Go to
what is the show? Pawn Stars. Just go. Hey, look, I got these cars, and then the guy's gonna say, you know what? I got a buddy of mine that knows how to value these things, and then he just goes out and values the cards for absolutely nothing. Tells you what he wants to pay you for them, say no, and then sell it to someone else.
That's what I say, because the bigger thing now they say is you can see the value, but you've got to find a buyer. But here's the bizarre thing, right? Because at first it used to be just baseball cards. Then it was football had a little resurgence. Then it was there was a time in the late 80s, early 90s where basketball cards. I found 7 boxes of unopened, the whole box still in plastic, Skybox and Hoop Series 1 basketball cards from like 1990, 1991, and one box of the original Dream Team, the entire box still sealed in plastic.
You know what? You might not have to pay for Taylor and Madison to go to college, to be honest.
That would be ideal, right?
But by the time they go to college, a semester is going to be $250,000.
That would not be ideal. That's why I got to find
by the time Taylor's 18.
Some kind of scholarship. But Maddie, I believe, is going to be an athlete. Taylor, I'm going to have to find some academic side way to get her into it. I'm not going to do Lori Loughlin stuff.
So you're just so convinced that one's going to get a sports scholarship and the other one isn't. See, that's not nice. I don't feel like you're going to be very encouraging.
I'm a realist, Nick. That's what I am. I'm a realist.
Don't be a realist in front of her.
No, I wouldn't say that in front of her. But Lisa very much knows when I give her the side eye of who's got the athletic ability between the two. When we're out in the yard, I mean, let me just say, Maddie is 16 months, and she can dribble a soccer ball and kick it with both feet.
And Taylor can't do that.
Taylor's got some attention issues. Bird flies by, soccer ball don't matter. You know what? So
that's hilarious.
She's easily distracted at this point.
Oh, yeah. But just hope that college, like I said, is not – because how much is SC? SC right now is, like, ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Did you see the money that they were talking about when they gave them those fake rowing scholarships and everything?
Oh,
they paid, like, $500,000?
Well, the parents that got in trouble for admitting Lori – what's her
that's
name?
That's what I'm talking about. Lori Loughlin.
Well, he just got out of jail, right? He just got out of prison for that.
Massimo? The father just got out of prison. Massimo was one of the hot clothing companies.
Yeah. I actually had that T-shirt and the shorts. Yeah. I had their shorts, too. They actually were a pretty good company, actually.
So,
I liked it.
So, and the other thing is, you know, with the memorabilia, you've seen some of it. The memorabilia I got on the walls and some of the other stuff I'm going to hang on to. But I started thinking about it going, I got so much stuff that I should probably start seeing if I can get rid of some of it. Like a buddy of mine who you know, but a buddy of mine this weekend was out there tweeting Star Wars cards that have value. And I guess
if
there's
a
certain limited edition Star Wars cards that were made in like Colombia and Costa Rica and other countries. And he has like five of these Luke Skywalker cards and there's only like 20 and he's selling them for thousands of dollars. I'm like, good for you.
Yeah. I don't think
that's it. That's one of them, but he has a different one that's printed in a different country or something.
That's a hundred. That one's 99.
That one's $100,000.
That's on eBay. So
but
we
you
don't
also
know.
Have to right. That's the eBay.
I don't
price.
Know if that's the bid or let me look at. I don't know if that's the buy it now price. No, that's the starting bid.
See, my man AR Platinum has got to find a way we get around this grading curve, and then we're going to be in business. So
that's
would be
ridiculous
absolutely
that you
fantastic.
Have to give it a grade. That's just especially when you're leaving it up to the grader. To determine how much your card is worth and ultimately how much money he's going to get paid to make this evaluation. Like, that's just kind of a weird dynamic to me.
Think about
or a third party. Maybe there's a third party that can verify what he's doing is right. Maybe you can do that. I don't know.
Think about the fact that when we were little, we would take a clothespin and cards and put them in the spokes so that they made noise.
Can't do that now.
God forbid if that was a card that was worth money. I found not in his greatest shape, but I found a Roberto Clemente that my dad had. I found a Jim Brown. I found some of the early Walter Paytons. I'm like, I got to start going through some of these cards.
Yeah.
Because my main focus is in each year, what were the most valuable cards in a set? That's where I'm starting. Like you were talking about a Jordan. The weird thing is in those boxes of unopens, that's the Jordan card that has the most value. However, there's a stamp on the front of it that states that it was a prototype that was put out before the actual sets. That's the ones that the highest value because there was a limited number.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because it's a prototype, so obviously there's only certain. Yeah. Well, you better start opening these basketball cards and sharing some with me.
No, I'm going to sell the box whole because then the people get the joy. There's people that get orgasmic and get erections if they get cards that are unopened. That's a big thing.
But what if you opened it up and found one or two of these cards to be worth enormous amounts.
I don't care. Pay me for the box and take your chances. It's like the lotto.
Really?
Play the lotto with me. Buy the box. If you cash in, good for you. But let me cash in first, good for me.
Yeah,
that's how I'm thinking about it.
The hobby is called breaking, like you're breaking open a box.
Really?
Yep.
See, it's a big deal, right,
that's
Tyler?
That's like Storage Wars.
I got a buddy in California. Like he would bid on certain boxes, and it's all like sight unseen, like everything's sealed. You bid on the box, you win it, and then you bust it open. And
well, I got plenty of boxes to bust open.
10G cards, $15,000 cards in there.
Wow. Well, yeah. I don't know if I got those, but I got what I got, and I'm willing to sell them.
So let's say you sell it like that as a whole, like the box like that, and then you learn later that two or three of those cards are worth an enormous
amount.
Does it bother you?
As long
zero regret.
As long as I get what I got out of them, you know what? It didn't cost me anything. I forgot I had them. So the fact that I found them, whatever I get for them, if it's to that a decent level, I'm good with it. And if you guys benefit more from it, more power to you too.
All right.
We can all cash in. By the way, I want to shout out to Robert Keck, loyal listener of the Press Box and the station.
Okay.
Listens on a daily basis.
Shout out
to him. Shout out to that guy. What's his name? Anthony. The Nilla Wafer. The Rocket guy. What's his
name?
Anthony Nilla.
Okay, shout out Anthony
Nilla. He's the guy that washes the underpants. Oh, Tony Nyla, the equipment manager for the Rockets.
He's wondering
too before they head off to L.A.
So. Shout out to Adrian, who's sitting right in front of us.
Yep,
and he's here at Cidercade.
Loyal listener. Appreciate him as he's sitting right here. You can too. We are at Cidercade in East Downtown, right by the stadium. Come on and see us. Our promo team is just dying to talk to people and give some stuff away as we have lots going on, and there's like over 300 video games to play. 1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go. Second hour of the show comes up next. Don't go anywhere. Press Box ESPN. Might go down as G-O-D. Yeah, wait. I go hard on Southside G. Hey, wait. I make sure that Northside E. Yeah. And still...